Exodus 19. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt. Now, it's interesting that it's been 3 months. And we talked last time I preached, we talked about it had been 1 month. And now we're 2 months later. And those 90 days seem like an eternity, don't they? There's a lot that happened in that time. But with the hundreds of thousands of people who have left Egypt and are traveling through the desert, and they're camping along the way, they're taking time. Understand, there are some aged among them, and there are children among them. So they don't just pick up and move. And God is keeping the pace by the cloud and by the pillar of fire. And verse number 2, they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai. It's interesting as you look at the track that they took, how that they left Egypt and came across the Red Sea, and then they traveled down the Sinai Peninsula, staying near the coast. And you know, it's obviously it's going to be cooler near the coast than it would be in the center of the desert. And that's the way they traveled until they reached and pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the Mount Sinai. Verse number 3, and Moses went up unto God. And the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. So Moses did like Jesus did, and we see Jesus in the New Testament. He'd have a big day, a long, weary day, and he would go up into the mountain apart by himself to pray. And Moses did that same thing. And as he was going up on that mountain, God called out to him. He was going up to talk to God, and God said, good, I need to talk to you. And the Lord called out to him. Verse number 4, ye have seen. And that's an important phrase. Ye have seen. And God brings them back to that. You know, there are times when we get weary in our journey. There are times when we get discouraged in our work. But we have to then sit down and reflect on what we have seen God do. And we've seen God do remarkable, great things. As I ministered and talked to pastors this week and heard their stories and other adults that wanted to share their burdens and their needs, I was listening and I was hearing what they were going through. And I was able, in each one of those situations, to think back on someone in our church, of our people, who had been through a similar situation and God brought them through it. And in our lives, we can do that if we'll just look back. It's easy to get discouraged when we're going through it. It's easy to get discouraged when it goes along. You know, here we are, 3 months into it. How many of you ever had a burden and it just kept going and you felt like it was never going to go away? And that burden just hung there and it drug you down and it discouraged you. And yet, God is faithful. God does not lose His promise. He does not forget His promises. And Moses, God says, ye have seen what I did to the Egyptians. We know His power, don't we? Should we be afraid of our enemies? We shouldn't be. You know, the other night I was riding along with Brother Rodney and Brother Don, and I came to the realization as we were on that boat, Brother Rodney, I said, Lord, if this is the place, take me home. You know, sometimes we just get into things and it's fun, and we all got in safe, didn't lose any feet or legs or anything. But there are times in our lives where we just have to quit worrying and quit being afraid and just enjoy the experience. And just, look, hang on, but enjoy the experience. And sometimes that's how it is. And if we worry, we're not going to enjoy it. If we're scared, we're not going to enjoy it. So just relax and trust God and your driver. And so I've learned that, and that's just an illustration, but many times in our lives, we just have to let God have control because there are things we can't control. We're not driving. We're not in control. And even though we can't see what's ahead, we have to trust that God has already planned ahead, and He has. So in our burden, whether it's days or weeks or months or years, this turned into a 40-year journey. And it would be easy for Moses to get discouraged. If Moses sat down and calculated, he would have said, well, the first 40 years I was growing up, and the next 40 years I was being trained in the wilderness. I bet this trip is going to take 40 years. It did, didn't it? It took 40 years. That's how it worked out. Because the people were rebellious. But Moses learned to just trust God. He went up there to pray, and God said, Moses, you've seen what I've done. You've seen what I did to the enemy. You've seen what I did to the oppressor. You have seen how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Remember, the whole explanation was, let my people go that they may worship me. Let my people leave Egypt that they can serve me the way they should. Verse 5, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, there are conditions. Sad to me, and I look around as I'm out and about, and some of the children that we had this week, and you look at their home life, and you look at their parents, and you wonder, what was it? And I would like to sit down with some of those parents, and if I really ever get the opportunity, I will, and just say, is this what you planned for your life? Is this where you planned to be with your life? Because the way that they have lived their lives carelessly, recklessly, unplanned, and with no consideration for their children. Of course, not all of our children. A lot of our children this week had good homes, but some did not. And it burdens me, and I look at these children, especially once they start to get up in years, and I wonder, where are they going? What direction do they have? What chance do they have? And we, you know, our Sunday school teachers, youth workers, they're the best direction that these children have had in their lives and will have in their lives. So we've got to be on our game, don't we? We've got to know what we're doing. And I appreciate our Bible school. Everybody works so hard. And I was so impressed the way everybody worked with those children. And those children just fell in line. And yeah, they're children. They're kids. They're going to act up, misbehave, and try your patience. But it was a great week. And then again, the camp this week. But they need direction. We can look back at our lives and maybe see some bad judgment, some missed calls, and some bad direction. Reckless decisions that cost us. But if we'll think about that today, we can avoid those decisions in the future. And Moses has been given this condition, if ye will obey my voice. Secondly, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Now let me ask you a question. Who's he talking to here? Verse number 3. Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, tell the children of Israel. Moses, this is not a message just for you. This is a message for you to share. A message of hope. A message of deliverance. A message of promise. A message of confidence. There should never be a time after seeing what they've seen, after seeing what we have seen God do, we should never doubt God. We should always trust His promises. We should always trust His hand. Why? Because we've seen what God can do. Verse 6, ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. What do priests do? They represent the people before God. How many of us prayed for somebody this week? How many of us really earnestly prayed for someone this week? Maybe it was a physical need. Maybe it was a financial need. Maybe it was a marriage or their children. Maybe it was their job. Maybe it was a medical issue. But how many of us really sincerely prayed for someone? Maybe it was a spiritual issue. Maybe for their salvation. But how many of us were priests this week? Holy. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. Moses called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded them. Now who are these elders? Remember back in chapter 18, Jethro said, Moses, you've got to stop doing all of this, and you've got to get some elders chosen by the people to take up some of this work. And then they could disseminate the message. They could disseminate the judgment. And so he calls those elders to him, and he gives them that message. In verse number 8, all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. What's that? If ye will obey. If ye will keep my covenant. That's all he asks. If you'll obey and keep my covenant. It's not hard. If we'll remain true to him, he'll remain true to us. That was the promise he gave. And all the people said, we will do it. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned those words of the people unto the Lord. In verse number 9, the Lord said to Moses, Lo, I come to thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. So God said, I'm coming to you. I want them to see my presence. This is that Shekinah glory, as we call it in the Old Testament. This cloud. Remember, He was leading them by the cloud. He was leading them by the pillar of fire. But now that cloud is going to come to Mount Sinai. It's going to consume Mount Sinai. And out of that cloud is going to come the voice of God. The voice of God in the presence of the people. Why? Why was He doing it? To give credibility to Moses. Now, in doing so, He solidifies to them that Moses is God's chosen leader. That they should follow Him and obey Him and work with Him and cooperate with Him. And yet down the road, what will they do? They'll rebel. Down the road, they will mock Him. Down the road, they will even curse Him. His own sister will get in His business. His own brother will disagree with Him and have conflict. Now look, there's going to be conflict sometimes along the way. It's just the nature of how it is. But there should never be a question who God's chosen leader was. Moses told those words to the people in verse 10. The Lord said to Moses, Go to the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people. Now just stop and take a note here. He told them to be sanctified, to wash their clothes. In verse number 15, He says, Come not at your wives. Understand that when a priest went into the temple, he was not to have relations with his wife leading up to that. There was that day before, he was supposed to be pure. His mind was supposed to be set on God. And so here He tells them on that third day, I want them pure. I want their minds on Me. I don't want their minds on their wives. I want them thinking about this day and what's coming. Have them wash their clothes. Have them get ready. Have them prepare their heart. Verse 12, set bounds to the people about, saying, Take heed that you go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. So there was an appointed time. There was an appointed sound. There was an appointed signal for them to approach the mountain. Up until then, they were supposed to be preparing their hearts. Up until then, they were supposed to be thinking about what was coming. Moses went down from the mount to the people and sanctified the people. They washed their clothes. He told them in verse 15, we already talked about. Verse 16, it came to pass on the third day in the morning, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud. Now you say, but Brother Derek, that's normal. I've been to the mountains. I've seen storms. And I've seen clouds consume what we could see of the mountain. And I've seen lightning around that mountain. But here's the difference. God told them it was going to happen. Now today we've got meteorologists and radar and they can't even tell you when it's going to happen. But God told them it was going to happen. God told them, I'll consume that mountain with a cloud. I'll speak out of that cloud. And there were thunderings and there were lightnings. But not just that. It says the mount, there was a voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud. And that was, remember, the notice, the signal. So that all the people that was in the camp trembled. It was a powerful, penetrating sound. And they trembled. You know what that means? That means they had prepared their hearts. They had been thinking about this day. They had been considering this God. They had been considering what they had seen and who He was and how He had brought them out. They had considered all that He had done in Egypt. They had prepared their hearts. Look, it's important for us. It's hard sometimes to prepare our hearts for church, isn't it? You ever notice Sunday mornings, everything that can come up does come up. You're supposed to go to church and stuff happens. There'd be an excuse for everybody in the room. If we were looking for an excuse every time the church doors are open, we could find an excuse not to come. And I tell you, there are a lot of people who do. And they find reasons not to be here. And look, there are sometimes reasons not to be here, but just don't have excuses of not to be here. And so the trumpet sounded and they approached the mountain. Verse 17, Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. They stood at the nether part of the mountain. Remember, he said, don't even touch the border of it. Mount Sinai was altogether a smoke, verse 18, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Remember, what did God look like when he called Moses out of that bush? Fire. What did he look like when Ezekiel saw him by the river Chebar? Fire, that glow of fire. What did he look like when he reached down and scooped up Elijah and took him up to heaven? Fire. So again, over and over again, how does he lead them at night in the pillar of fire? So all the time we see this presence of God, this recognition of God. And let me just say again, because it's timely, that we'll see these fireworks and everybody's drawn to look at those fireworks and how incredible it is. And if you see that smoke and those different colors popping in there, that is similar to the appearance of God. That's why we're so drawn to it. When Ezekiel describes the appearance of God in chapter 1 of the book by his name, he describes to us what God looks like, and he looks like a fireworks display. You go to a concert, and then even in some churches, and what do they have? Flashing lights, smoke on the stage. Why? Because they're trying to give us the impression of God. Get us drawn in. You wonder why? Why do we care? Why do we like that so much? Because there's an inherent desire in us to know God and to see God. And God descended upon the mountain in a fire. Continuing in verse 18, the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. So it was thunder, lightning, smoke, cloud, and earthquake. The sound of the trumpet that started all of it. Verse 19, when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. That's impressive, isn't it? It's these people, they wondered and they'd already complained and murmured and said, you brought us out here to kill us. You're a spy. You work for Pharaoh. This was all a trick. You should have just let us die where we were. And now, there's no question that this is God's man following God's plan. Verse 20, the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down, charge the people lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. So God sends Moses back because he says, my presence, my appearance, and the voice and the curiosity is so hypnotizing. You got to go down there and remind them, don't come to the mountain. These people are so... God could tell by looking at them. They were caught up. They were caught up in the moment, and there was no telling what they would do because they were kind of absent-minded. They had forgotten themselves, if you will. And so he sends Moses back down. Verse 22, let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. He said, you make sure they're right. Now you can bring these priests, but you make sure they're right, because he says, anyone that's not, I'm going to get them. Verse 23, Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai. Thou charges us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. Moses said, Lord, we already told them the rules. Nobody, they know they can't do it. It's against the law. Wouldn't it be great if everybody would obey the law? And the Lord said to him, away. Get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So there's a chance they'll be so caught up that they'll try to trespass into God's sanctified place, into a position that they don't belong. And God says, you go back and warn them. You see, God knows that even though we know the rules, sometimes we get caught up in the moment. How many of y'all ever got, don't raise your hand, caught up in the moment and broke the rules? You know, our emotions, and what we're seeing and what we're feeling, and we get so excited and almost hypnotic. God says, Moses, you go back down and tell them, don't come up here. And Moses has confidence they're going to obey the rules, but God knew better. And Moses should have known better than to argue with God. But he was trying to express confidence in his people. But God knows how we are. We need to know the boundaries. Let me key in on this one point before we go. He said, make sure that they are sanctified. Particularly who? The priests. Particularly those who come to me with the burdens of the people. Who the people look to when they're looking to me. Particularly the priests. Make sure they sanctify themselves. You know, as we come in here and we talk about the different needs, and some of you come to me privately and you have burdens, and you know, texts and emails and get prayer requests all different ways these days. I remember a time when a lady came to the front of the chapel, and she took me by the hand and she shared her burden, and it was for, I think, her niece, as I recall. Would you pray for my niece? And she told me all the story. I mean, we were in a church service. We were in the invitation. And yet, even in that situation, as she shared her burden and her need, as I stood there for a minute, I paused before I prayed. And she said, are you going to pray? And I said, yeah, I'm just trying to get ready. I know that we think that praying is just second nature to us as Christians. But God says, sanctify yourself. When we pray, we need to go to God and really separate everything else from our hearts and minds. And prepare our hearts and humble ourselves before God. And get a sense of His presence. And get a sense that we have entered into that holiest place where God is. And ask His forgiveness. And present our need and our burden humbly. Sanctify yourselves. Let's stand.